Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
For many decades now, the summer months have been synonymous with the Hollywood blockbuster. Yet, year-round cinemagoers have been traditionally entertained by big movies with even bigger stars. However, a connection with the public is never a given, and the considerable gamble that studios take in the hope of making their film both popular and profitable can spectacularly backfire as cinema attendance is declining in general. Is it something that we're going to see more of? We're talking about film flops, and to discuss, I'm joined by Adam Maguire from the RTE Business Desk. Good morning, Adam.
How are you?
I'm very well. What is a flop? How do you define it?
Yeah, well, some people would say a flop is a film that's a critical failure, so it does get panned in the reviews. But really, when we talk about film flops, we're talking about a commercial failure. And that's realistically what the big studios care about as well, because they want their films to make a profit rather than a loss. To judge it is tricky, though. There's kind of a rule of thumb that a film's box office take needs to be anywhere between 2.5 to 3 times what it costs to make. Because on top of the actual budget to create the film, you then have to factor in marketing, sales, distribution around the film release. And then the fact that the studio doesn't get all of the ticket sales either. They're sharing that with the cinema too. So they need to get 2.5 to 3 times the amount in order to make their money back. So you can see there's no one number that you need to hit. It depends on the film to be how it was made to be a commercial success. So for example, back in 2019, both Joker and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker came out. Both made about $1.08 billion at the box office. Joker is considered a massive commercial success because it only cost $55 million to make, so a huge return on that investment. Yeah. Star Wars, though, technically was probably a flop because its budget was $416 million. So you can see it's you know, not quite made that 2.5 to 3 times. To complicate things further, though, Star Wars probably did make a profit when you factor in other stuff like merchandising, toy sales, which, you know, Disney and Star Wars are very good at doing. So they probably made a profit elsewhere,
eventually,
not necessarily at the box office.
Have we had any big ones this year? Any big flops?
Yeah, we're only really in the early stages, as you say, of the blockbuster release schedule, but we've had a couple of big losers already. The biggest and maybe most surprising is Furiosa, which is the latest Mad Max film.
Oh, yes.
It came on the back of a huge hit, Fury Road, solid cast, generally being fairly well reviewed, but looking like it'll make less than $200 million at the box office, which is estimated to be about $175 million short of what it needs to break even. Another big flop so far this year has been Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Tried hard to capitalise on the nostalgia around the first two films. It made $200 million on a $100 million budget. So again, probably short of that target to break even. And then we have Madame Web, which is one of these Sony films that's technically connected to Spider-Man, but it doesn't actually connect to Spider-Man. It's not referenced anyway. Very confusing for audiences. A source of a lot of online ridicule as well because some of the terrible dialogue that's even in the trailer for it. It's made around $100 million at the box office, roughly what it cost to make the film.
And they had that disastrous promotional tour as well, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Where the stars
yeah.
were dissing it.
Yeah, and yeah, clearly not interested in
Awful.
The film at all. Yeah.
Now, that's a lot. I mean, when I ask you if we've had many this year, you've already list of a load of them there that did really badly. Is that normal to have so many in short space of time?
Well, when you look at the list of kind of film flops over the years, the numbers do wax and wane, but there's definitely been a spike in the last few years and the scale as well of box office failures. A lot of that is due to the pandemic. You know, obviously it had a huge impact on cinema releases back in 2020 and 2021. There were some big budget films then during that period. Christopher Nolan's Tenet, Matrix Resurrection came out. They would have been forced into very limited cinema releases because of COVID restrictions, or simply audiences didn't want to go into a confined space with strangers for a couple of hours. So the audience are just put off going. But the impact of the pandemic has really continued even after lockdown and social distancing restrictions were lifted, because people have gotten used to watching films at home. Even the big blockbusters where it used to be, oh, you have to see it on the big screen, people now just are happy enough to watch it on their own big screen at home instead. And they've been more willing to wait for movie releases. Some studios even are pushing forward the home release because they know, well, there's no point in doing a big, long, drawn-out cinema run when people aren't going to go and see it. And the rise of streaming is a big part of that as well, because, you know, for example, you know the next big Disney release is going to be on Disney Plus in a couple of weeks' time. So unless you're really, really keen to see it, you're already paying for Disney Plus. Why are you going to
you
go and pay
you
know, multiples of that to go and see it once? So you just wait it out for the couple of weeks.
Well, I took my crew to see Inside Out 2 last weekend and the cinema was absolutely packed and it was hard to get a ticket actually.
Yeah, and that's actually been quite a success for Disney, yeah. a rare one.
So some of them do tend to hit the mark, don't they?
Yeah,
surprisingly.
And as you say, it's not always obvious the reasons why they do, but obviously that's a follow on from a very popular film. But
yeah, and Disney will be glad of that one because they've had a run of bad ones, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have. Since 2020, by my count, they've had 14 box office flops. That's if you include releases from the studio formerly known as 20th Century Fox, which they now own. And when you add the losses estimated together, you count for inflation, they represent a combined loss of up to $2.2 billion over the last 4 years. That figure also wouldn't include the losses Disney suffered from a couple of films that didn't get a theatrical release because of COVID. So the Marvel film Black Widow, it was only made available on demand, which actually led to a lawsuit with Scarlett Johansson because she wasn't happy. She would have gotten a cut of the theatrical release, but it didn't happen. So she missed out on that. The Pixar film Soul, which won Oscars, was actually launched straight to Disney Plus. It was meant to be in the cinema, but it didn't get there. And that string of flops has had a significant impact on Disney. A huge factor in the CEO, Bob Iger, returning from a brief retirement to replace his replacement, Bob Chapek. It's also been used as a stick to beat Disney with by hostile investors, the US right as well, who claim that Disney is losing money because it's focused on being woke rather than focused on just making good family films. But of course, the reality of why it's had all these losses is far more complex than that, because the biggest loser of recent years was the Marvels. It lost around $237 million. It suffered from poor marketing, though, partly because it came on the back of the Screen Actors Guild strike when they couldn't promote films. The actors refused to promote films, so that suffered as a result. It was also a victim of what people are calling superhero fatigue.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I do feel with the Marvels, and I'm not into them. I don't know too much about them, but it seems like there are an awful lot of them.
Yeah,
and it's very confusing that if you want to watch them, you have to go back.
Exactly, and I'm kind of into them, but I've completely lost track as well. And it's because with this film, in order to fully understand what was going on, you needed to have seen five or six other films and a couple of shows that were on Disney Plus as well. And
don't
have the time for that. So it suffered as a result of that. Another one of Disney's big flops of recent years was Strange World, estimated to have lost $205 million. A pretty poor box office take of $73.6 million globally. But it got a very limited release. Disney didn't release it in France, for example, because of a protest against France's release rules, where when you give it a theatrical release, you have to then adhere to a timeline of when it's available on demand, when it's available on TV. And Disney just said they weren't interested in doing that. It also didn't get a release in a number of other countries because it has an openly gay main character. One of the plot points is about a crush he has on another boy. And Disney knew in countries like China and places in the Middle East, it would get heavily censored or just banned.
So they just didn't bother release it at all.
Yeah.
They're not new though at Disney to the big budget flops. I suppose that they could absorb them at one point, maybe not so now.
No, but that being said, Inside Out will probably cover the loss on a couple of the big losses. But yeah, they've the inglorious record of having the three biggest flops of all time when you adjust for inflation. So the Marvels is third. In second place is the 2013 version of The Lone Ranger, which starred Johnny Depp as Tonto, which is a casting choice that was controversial at the time. Seems even worse in hindsight. But it lost close to $250 million when you adjust for inflation. But that wasn't even as bad as the 2012 release John Carter, which was based on the Barsoom book series by Edgar Rice Burroughs, considered to be hugely influential sci-fi books. It had a huge budget, $260 million to make, which is expensive even for a film now, particularly expensive for a film 12 years ago. Disney thought this was going to be the first of a major franchise. They had a trilogy planned and everything. In the end, it made about $265 million loss when adjusting for inflation. The sequels were quickly canned.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. It's on Disney Plus. I still haven't watched it. So, yeah.
But then you see, you can have movies that are a flop at the box office. Then they can be a slow burn, or you can have, as you were mentioning there with Star Wars, the commercial success alongside it. So the box office flop might necessarily mean commercial flop.
Not necessarily. And again, if we go back to Disney, Encanto would technically be considered a flop because it made about $257 million on a $150 million budget. That's in large part because of COVID. It only got about a month's release. It was put on Disney Plus a month after it came out, just in time for Christmas a couple of years ago. But the film has been a huge hit with audiences.
Big hit. That's a slow burn.
That is a slow burn, yeah. And little doubt that it drove subscriptions to Disney Plus. It would have prompted lots of merchandise and toy sales. So they probably made a lot of money on that, even though the box office didn't go well. And there's been loads of films over the years that have been a box office flop, but are now considered classics. The Shawshank Redemption, Fight Club, The Thing, Donnie Darko, all flopped at the box office, but ended up being massive classics and making lots of money on the back of sales afterwards. Labyrinth, the David Bowie film, huge flop, put huge financial pressure on Jim Henson. Now it's so well regarded, people are talking about making a sequel for it. The Iron Giant, which didn't do well at cinema, now one of the kind of greatest cartoons of the 1990s. All of those films did well because of DVD sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people went and then bought the DVD, or they saw it on TV and they loved it and they went and bought DVDs. That doesn't really exist anymore. People don't buy DVDs really at all anymore. You can buy a digital copy, but the sales there aren't quite what they are, anything like what they were for DVDs. Instead, people just wait for it to pop up on streaming services, really, now. That's what people do. So they don't offer the same return. You kind of have to make it at the box office now.
Yes.
Matt Damon was talking about this in an interview a couple of years ago. He said it used to be that you'd bet on a middling film because you knew it wouldn't do well at the box office, but it would be a slow burn, as you say, and you'd make the money back down the line. So they'd still greenlit like those films, but now it has to be a box office hit or else they're not going to take
a punt. That's where they're going to get the big bang of money.
And it's why we're seeing more sequels and all that kind of stuff, and why they're taking a bigger risk with bigger budgets on these films. Like Indiana Jones was a massive budget, massive flop as well, because they're trying to make their money back at the box office.
Now, before we finish, I know you want to tell us about the most significant film flop of all time, which is a thing called Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, far from the biggest flop of all time in terms of money loss, it lost around $40 million when released in 1980, which is about $150 million today. But it sent massive shockwaves through the film industry. Heaven's Gate was written and directed by Michael Cimino, best known for The Deer Hunter, which was a big smash hit, you know, won 5 Oscars. And its success effectively gave him a blank check for his next film. So it was an epic Western starring Kris Kristofferson, Christopher Walken, John Hurt, Jeff Bridges, Joseph Cotten, big stars.
All the ingredients.
The initial budget was $11.6 million. The legend goes that the day 6 of filming, they were 5 days behind schedule. In the end, the budget tripled or quadrupled almost to $44 million, all because of Cimino's perfectionism around the sets he wanted and where the location was. Loads and loads of mad things that he did. When it finally did come out, it was panned by critics, got a 2-week cinema release, so it made $3.5 million at the box office. It needed to make about $140 million. Ultimately, it put Cimino's career on the skids. It killed off the Western as a genre for a long time. Studios just wouldn't touch them. But more significantly, it also destroyed United Artists, which is the studio behind it. That would have been responsible for James Bond, the Rocky films, Rebecca, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 12 Angry Men, all these classic films. It got wiped out basically because of this film. And it also brought an end to studios being willing to give young, ambitious directors kind of carte blanche and say, go and make whatever you want, which they would have done with Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese and so on. Now they wanted more control and they wanted to be directing how the film was being made. And you can see the impact even today. Like Francis Ford Coppola had to bankroll his own magnum opus, Megalopolis, because no studio would touch it. Whereas back in the 80s or the 70s, he could have just been handed a blank check and been told to do it. And it really goes back to Heaven's Gate, really, as to how that changed.
Heaven's Gate. Very interesting.
And Waterworld was dubbed Kevin's Gate because that was also a flop as well. Kevin Costner's massive flop back in the 90s.
Adam, thanks so much. Always good to have you in. Adam Maguire there, RTE business journalist. Now we're going to have all the latest action from the Euros. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.